what spiritual tools will you rely on this week? So I'll give you a few seconds to think. I'm going to take some answers. All right. Anyone's brain working this morning? Bailey? Prayer. Yeah, pray for me right now. Get a good start. All right, one more up here. Scripture, always helpful. Trey? Confession and repentance. Oof. All right, powerful. We're here? Fasting. Oof. That's a tough one, but valuable. Mike?
Shutting up and listening.
Ooh, shutting up and listening. Maybe I'll do that the rest of the week, but I'm in trouble. Over here?
Holding on to the truth.
Holding on to the truth. I think that might tie really well with some scripture. And Levi?
Worship.
Worship. Just can really change your attitude in just one song. Let's take one more.
Faith.
Oh, I know about that one. So I don't know exactly what your week is going to look like, but there's one thing I know with certainty. There will be curveballs, new challenges, and unexpected obstacles in your week. Because isn't it true, as we look at the world out there, we turn on the television, we see division, we see war. The times are becoming darker, and our battles are increasingly difficult. We must be ever adapting, diversifying, and strengthening our tool set if we are to triumph. Because a wise man is known to say, the world is a lying death cult trying to control you. Between the noise, the ugliness, the static, the propaganda, and the overall darkness, isn't that true? We have to constantly be sharpening our spiritual and survival tools if we are to even survive. But if we are to triumph, we must discern God's will in our lives and how he would have us use our tools in each moment. So today I wanted to share part of my experience with Blue Water Leadership Academy. So it was just such a wonderful time of learning practical things and the ability to take chances like this and try and apply them in my life. And one of the things we got to do with that class is go on ministry trips with Pastor Jordan. So my wife and I had the privilege to go to Vancouver, Canada back in January. And I have some pictures, hopefully. So that's us with the elders of the church in the pastor's living room there. And there's Faith and Jordan doing some prophetic workshopping with the leaders of that church. And then I have one more slide of pictures. That's me and one of the elders' kids, and he was teaching me about hockey. That's Faith doing what she does, and that's just another photo of their little leadership team with us there. So it was a wonderful time. If you don't know much about Canada, or Vancouver specifically, Canada is very diverse, and it's also relatively young, but it's way more unchurched than you would expect. But the culture there is extremely polite and unassuming. So you put those two things together, and it's really hard to strike up spiritual conversations or talk about God outside of the church walls. So the lovely church that hosted us, they were really excited to bring in Pastor Jordan to teach them about the life of Tri and what it takes to equip yourself and bring the gospel and the good news outside of church into their daily lives. So we flew in, we fellowshipped, Pastor Jordan did a lot of coaching and teaching, Faith gave a couple words, and all in all, it was a wonderful time. But as part of this, they put the Blah kids to work a little bit, and so they told us we were going to lead their young adult ministry that week. Okay, that's fine. What they didn't tell us was it was going to be a prophetic workshop. So, great. I didn't sign up for that part. I'm barely an amateur when it comes to these things. What am I going to say? Well, thankfully, I had a partner who could probably hold her own, but Pastor Jordan wasn't there, so I couldn't leave her alone. I had to contribute. What kind of skills and tools could I bring to a prophetic workshop with who knows who's coming? So I was just thinking at first, oh my gosh, they're going to come and start debating theology and Old Testament prophecy. And I was worried. But ultimately, I remembered what they taught us at Blah. You got to lean into the leadership. So I took my strong tools, administration, hospitality, encouragement, and said, all right, I'll be in charge of setting the atmosphere and keeping the show moving. So we showed up, we broke the ice, fellowshipped a little bit, and when things were just starting to get vulnerable, I transitioned us, and we said, okay, let's do the prophetic workshop. Now, I could have got up there and gave them a long lecture, lots of verses, the history of the prophetic, all these things, but as you all know, that's not really the Blue Water way. So we went with try. So we gathered everyone, we took a volunteer, and we had them sit in the middle of the room, what you may know as the mush pot. And Faith kicked us off, thankfully, and she gave a powerful, long prophetic word about healing in that person's bloodlines. I followed up with a slightly shorter word, but then we looked to their normal leader and said, all right, you next. And he went for it. It was a little underdeveloped, as Pastor Jordan might say, but he really put himself out there. And then we ran around, and more people in the room took a risk. They listened, and when they thought they heard God speaking to them or they had an image, they attempted to put it to words, which is honestly the harder part. That they went there and they put out words. One of the girls, she gave a one-word prophecy that the person receiving really liked. And that was encouraging. But we knew they could draw it out more and they could even just pull out more and detail. So we coached them through it on some of the things we learned, which are to make sure you give something concrete and specific and something they can take for action. And when you see an image, don't just describe it. Try and give an application or a meaning. So we pushed them in that, and we kept going around. A second person went in the mush pot, and the confidence in the room was building. So we said, let's keep going. We put a third person in the middle, and we were like halfway through the third person, and she was just really crying. But then suddenly, her demeanor shifted, and her voice changed. And out of her mouth came, it's telling me that I take up space. And then the room was dead silent. Faith and I had immediately discerned that the room was moving with God and something in the demonic was uncomfortable and something manifested there. But this was a workshop after all. So we're putting these young adults to work, or at least we're making them sweat. So we didn't react. We took a few slow breaths. Time felt like eternity. People shifted uncomfortably. Everyone knew something was a little bit wrong, but they didn't exactly know what was going to happen and who was going to take charge. So we gave them a chance. And then ultimately we had to step in, and we led the group in a little deliverance session where we prayed the life and the blood and the hope of Jesus over this young lady. And we rebuked the spirits of suicide and death and self-doubt. And we went around, other people jumped in as we led, and we ministered to her for quite a bit. And then at one point, her countenance shifted back, and she said, I feel so much lighter, there's so much peace. At which point we knew that she had had a breakthrough. It was a powerful moment. You could tell that the room had shifted from this whole experience, that it wasn't this excited thing where they were realizing, oh, I don't have to go sit in a cave for 10 years and live in a monastery, that I can actually hear from God. Well, suddenly they realized that it wasn't just that, that they were in a spiritual battle, but that God showed up in the moment when they needed him. So we really felt that faith in the room. So we kept going, and we ended up doing 5 people through the mush pot. And if you don't know, that's like 2 hours. So we went for it. And by the 5th person, Faith and I could have probably slipped out the back door and no one would notice, because they were so activated and going for it. They were going around encouraging one another, develop that more. What does that image mean? And at one point, the person receiving the word said, stop, stop, I really liked that. Can you draw it out more? So we knew we had accomplished the goal, that we had been entrusted in this space. But why were we successful? Was it because we came with lots of notes? Why did they learn to trust us? It was because we discerned and we weren't wedded to our tools and our plan, that we had to pivot when the demonic manifested. And neither of us are experts at that kind of thing. I've done it maybe a couple times. Pastor Jordan's pretty good, but he wasn't there. So we were entrusted to lead that group. And so we had to take it head on in that moment. So it was all in all a wonderful evening. And without a doubt, those guys are just rolling and they will have more deliverances in their midst this year, guaranteed. It's awesome. And you know, I was just reflecting on that time this week, and it really brought me back to a time in my own life when I was the young, naive person without the tool set. So I went to college in Philadelphia, and if you're unfamiliar, Philadelphia has some of the darkest neighborhood stretches of any city in the U.S. And as part of a spring break mission trip, we partnered with this local church that planted a flag and was in one of those dark neighborhoods. So I was this naive 20-year-old kid on a little mission trip. And Friday night comes around, so we gather in the church. We spend 2-3 hours in prayer, worship, and intercession. And then the leaders say, all right, we're going to go out and battle the darkness. All you guys have to do is stand behind us, put an arm on our shoulder, and just pray for God to come help us. Just keep praying, intercede, and then don't stop praying. All right, I can probably do that. So we went out, we ducked through a cut fence, through some shady urban areas, and ended up under the tracks where people were dealing and using heroin all out in the open. I was not ready for that moment. I was a 20-year-old kid who'd grown up in a church where they taught us to read our Bible, honor our parents, be responsible, and then you'll be able to save for retirement. I think some people are somewhat relating to that story, but not this church. So I didn't have any grid for this, let alone tools, when you see people using heroin or just being in this spiritual dark place. So I just did what they told me, did my best to not be afraid, and just prayed. And we prayed until we ran out of words, and we kept praying. We were out there over an hour, and what the ministers did is they walked right up to people who were turned back to them dealing heroin and said, Jesus loves you, Jesus wants to forgive you, and he wants to call you out of the darkness into an eternal home. And most of the people were violently resistive to the name of Jesus. Through that hour, I realized that they weren't out there having polite discussions with people who were, you know, getting a little comfort from a substance. That they were actually out there engaging in a war against a demonic stronghold. That there was something there that had these people in bondage and didn't want to let go of them. Ultimately, these guys go out there every week, and still, most of the people are extremely resistant and do not wish to change. There were a few that asked for prayer and expressed remorse at how their life had ended up. And that church continues, I think, to this day, is still out there in that neighborhood. They run a drug recovery home as part of their church because that's the neighborhood they're in, and that's what they do. And it was such a powerful time for me as a 20-year-old. You know, I had no tools. I didn't have much to bring, but they invited us to come along. And it really, to me, comes full circle, realizing that I went to Vancouver, met with some young adults who didn't have these tools, and I was able to help them take their first steps and pick up these tools. So it was just wonderful to reflect on how that came full circle. Because ultimately, isn't what the church is all about us encouraging one another and creating a safe place where we can all grow together? So, you know, this church is also a very safe place. And if you are curious about the prophetic, about intercession, about deliverance, about any of these things, and you don't know much, I would highly encourage you to either come to First Fridays or to join an Ohana group. At the Ohana group we intend here at Blue Water, these things come to the forefront every week, and I've grown so much in the prophetic and intercession just by my Ohana group, not even through the Blue Water Leadership Academy. But you don't have to take my word or my own stories for this. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So I think, first and foremost, the thing that jumps out to me there in verse 1, that it's not just spiritual gifts, it's also spirits themselves and all spiritual matters that Paul is begging them to not be uninformed. Church, we cannot be ignorant, whether we're a leader or new here, we cannot be ignorant of this spiritual arena we find ourselves in. And if you see in the second paragraph, or sorry, let me go back. So in verse 3, it talks about nothing of God can speak those deathly words, and the Spirit of God speaks words of life. And that, it just exemplifies what we experienced, that when that young woman said those words of death, that we knew that was not of God. And we had to rebuke that and declare words of God and words of life in her life. So that's what we did. And it's as simple as that, as Jordan would say. So the second paragraph there, you see kind of just a lifting of all these gifts. And Paul is affirming that they all come from the same Spirit. They are empowered together and they are doled out to us. You know, we all have gifts. We all were made a special way. We are so unique. And those gifts can come together to achieve amazing things. So I'm a bit of a visual person. So I added a visual. So you're going to have to bear with me on this one. If we can go to the next slide. All right. So as you can see, there's a castle under siege. Now hear me out. There is a spiritual parallel here. So we are all soldiers in God's army, and God is the siege master, and he has tasked us to lay siege to the castle of darkness and to save those who are perishing within. But as soldiers, we each have our role. Some of us may be better at math, so we can adjust the angle on the catapult. Some of us are a little headstrong. Maybe we're good with the battering ram. Some of us are discerning, and we can be a deadly archer. As you see, there's so many different roles in a battle. While all the soldiers have to be experts at their own role, they still have to know what the overall strategy is and how the different roles come together in order to achieve the victory. You know, those on horse can't go charging through if the battering ram hasn't taken down the gate. You know, we have to work those giftings out together and in unison, because this is a big battle and a strong castle we are facing. So let's look at another passage. The Apostle Peter speaks about similar things. 1 Peter 4, I'll give you a minute. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by that strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So a couple more points here. Peter also talks about being self-controlled and sober-mindedness. Again, that means we cannot be ignorant of all these things. And then he goes on in verses 8 and 9 to talk about how we must love one another and be hospitable and work together even when it's hard, because we need each other in this battle. We have different gifts, and we have to apply them all together. And in verse 11, it talks about those who speak and those who serve. Do it both unto the glory of God, and both are necessary. So I wanted to just talk another story about just discerning the seasons and understanding what giftings to come to bear. So prior to moving out here and joining Blue Water, my wife and I, for 10 years, were closely involved with this small church in New York. And the biggest thing that church did is we would host multiple conferences every year, like big conferences. And we were a pretty small church, though. So as you can imagine, there was lots of logistical responsibilities to go around. So that for that season, I wasn't on a microphone, thankfully. I was usually serving in the back, ushering, preparing food, doing many things. In that season, we ran a mini community house. We had a rotating group of bachelor guys trying to figure things out, staying with Faith and I. And that was challenging, but so fruitful. We did things like we would host fun gatherings whenever there was a blizzard at our house. We would do things like drive college kids 10 hours round trip so they could attend our conferences. I spent the night guarding $500,000 of AV equipment in a U-Haul at an airport so that it could get on a flight to a conference. Just did a lot of little things serving behind the scenes. And I was happy to do that. I love doing that, just persevering in those things, comfortable, things I feel strong and gifted in. And one of the things we got to do, the biggest bonanza, was a week-long overseas conference. So we loaded up, that's where the U-Haul comes in, and we went down to Cancun, Mexico. And this is at the tail end of COVID, when there were still restrictions and vaccination requirements. So we had the conference in Cancun, and hundreds of missionaries from around the world came to this conference. And the vision of this conference was, COVID was extra rough on missionaries. They're out there in closed countries that are now closed again in a different level. They're out there, their aid is drying up as the economy went to slow down. And even all their trips back to their home country, back to their supporting churches, all got canceled during the pandemic. So all these missionaries, they were exhausted and worn out. So we brought them all together, and our goal as a team was to pamper them, to give them a week of recharge and refreshment. Our pastor spent big bucks to bring in some of the heroes of the faith, some really well-known speakers, to just minister to them and encourage them to go back and continue to give their lives where they may not see much fruit in difficult countries. I think the most blessed thing was seeing them fellowship and meet fellow missionaries, because in many places they don't have other mature believers that they can relate with as peers, that they're in charge and they gotta keep a strong face all the time. So we went, we served, they all were so blessed. We worked 16 to 18 hours a day for the week, taking care of kids, doing this, doing that, meals, all that. But we tried to go the extra mile. One of them lost their suitcase somewhere in the Congo on the way there. So part of our team, they went into town and bought what they thought was a suitcase worth of stuff and gave it to him. And just so many other examples of kids that didn't know how to swim, we bought them swimsuits anyway, and they played in the splash pool. Just such a great time with all those missionaries. It was really like 18 hours a day, but it was joyous to serve. And lots of missionary kids with no shoes, just very physical. It was a tough time in that childcare. but it was great, and the Lord used that season. And that was that season that I was in. And funnily enough, Faith didn't get to go on that trip. She was in a doctorate program that was 80 to 90 hours a week at a minimum. She was in a season where she wasn't actually giving prophetic words on a microphone, and she couldn't attend many other church gatherings outside of Sundays. But she was in such a season of immense trial and perseverance, and I've just really seen God shape her and mold her and refine in her so many wonderful things through those few years that are just now coming out and will just serve her for the years to come. So that was the season we were in. I was comfortable in my roles. And then we moved out here. We joined Blue Water, and it was a little different. I didn't know exactly where I fit. We really didn't know where to fit. And the more we asked, the more we were a little confused. We were a little unsure. So we said, well, maybe if we spend more time around the pastor, we'll get a better sense of what these guys are about. So even though it's like 45-minute drive, we started attending the Sangs Ohana group in Kaneohe. And from the very first week, they were like pulling us in like, hey, pray for this person. Do you have a prophetic word for this person? Getting to experience the mush pot. So that season led into us joining the Blue Water Leadership Academy, which has catapulted us more and more into our new season here. And we're finally starting to see a little bit of how we can play a role in this wonderful community. And we are just discerning that we're now in a season of more forward ministry and not as much of a supporting role. And that's a stretch for me. This is hard for me up here, you can tell. but we're leaning into it, or swaying. So that's a little bit about our journey and how we came through this season and had to understand that it's time to apply a different gifting set or to quickly get better at a gifting set. And I'm just so thankful for the Blah team and the time to do that. But you guys also are pretty good at bringing different gifts to bear. Anyone heard of the Blue Water Christmas concert? All right. So if you don't know, this isn't just like this like fun Santa Claus Christmas show. Being a part of it this year, I realized this is actually like a really flag in the ground that this is a Christmas concert that's actually about Jesus and not about the whitewashed American ideal of presents under a tree. It was so powerful to be a part of it and see how everyone rallies, the whole church brings their skill set, whether that's baking, singing, or keeping track of 12 different microphones. Everyone brings it, and our fearless leaders keep us in line, and somehow improbably, a show goes on and lots of teary eyes from people of all walks of life in that room. And it's not just a cheery event to enjoy cookies, but there's an actual spiritual dynamic and a battle under the scenes there. You guys just are rock stars, apparently. And that's critical in the battle because it is a raging war out there. We need to keep our weapons, that's weapons plural, at the ready. I have one more visual for you if you're not getting it yet. So we got a special forces squad. Now, every elite squadron, they have defined roles. You'll have a scout, a sniper, a medic, the communications guy. They are all world-class and dedicated to their role, and they know how to use their role in the greater team objective. That each member of that team continues to hone that one ability so that the team can dynamically adjust to the battle and meet their objectives. But they're also soldiers and not just specialists. Each member of the team has a sidearm, a grenade, a knife, a med pack, even their bare hands. And they have the expertise to use those as well. They may not be their strongest gifting, but they're ready to be flexible and discern when they need to evolve their tactics. And so just some food for thought today. Ask yourself, do I have a squad around me in this church with complementary giftings who I can rely on to meet this battle? I wanted to touch on one more verse for us here. This is a very familiar verse. You probably know it. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, powerful verse. Learned it a lot in Christian school, in church growing up. But it always felt a touch passive in the way it was applied in the places I grew up. That churches put on their armor and hide in their walls and hope that they can stand for a while. I like this other translation a little better. It's the Complete Jewish Bible. If we rotate the slide there. It says, use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. So to me, it just feels a little bit more active and a little bit more offensive when you say it this way. That our giftings, I know I'm using interchangeably giftings and weapons, but our giftings can be used as armor to build one another up within the church. But they are also our weapons to take offensive steps against that darkness out there. Because we don't want to just stand and hide, but we want to cast off those deceptive tactics of the adversary and declare the light of God. It's not on the slide, but also in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Again, I went through a journey of realizing that the things I learned inside the church had to go outside the church. You have to take those things out because there are strongholds out there and in our own lives. So I thought I would continue this with a couple practical examples. I know we're running a little short on time, but I just want to encourage everyone, if you know your giftings or if there are things that are your strong suit, that you can still take it to another level. So if you have the gift of flexibility, and not just in the physical, you can take it as a challenge on yourself to grow in a tertiary gifting, to have more weapons in your belt. Another one, we have the gift of shepherding. If you're someone who raises children, maybe a teacher, I know we have a lot of those in here, or someone who just feels that people are naturally attracted to you and want to open up, not only can you be there for people, but you can activate others into their own spiritual giftings. And if you have the gift of encouragement, like so many do in this church, you can step it up a notch and not just encourage practically, but prophesy life into others, even if that's uncomfortable. The gift of administration. behind the scenes. Pastor Jordan taught us this, and I found it so practical for my own life. The main point of administration is to create spaces for the ministers to minister without barriers or roadblocks. I think Joe does that really well in this church. Discernment, this is always a fun one. So many ways to go with this one. But if you see things on people that other people might not, whether they be good things, bad things, or just hidden characteristics, you have a holy duty to call that out and to lead others where you see the need, but also to unlock the potential of those who may be overlooked by the normal crowd. If you have the gift of leadership, well, we all are called to have the gift of leadership. So what we can all do is remain teachable and always lead others into humility. And a bonus one, if your spouse has a strong gifting that you're aware of, what you can do is you can understand it well and you can cultivate growth and encourage them to step out in it and not let it be dormant. So those are just some examples that I thought up of, but I'm sure you can think of what your week's going to look like and ways that you can leverage your abilities and even some of your gifts that are a little bit rusty or a little bit weaker than others. Just wanted to end with one final passage in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the early church leaders are having to make a plan to provide the widows and orphans with food. So it reads like this: "To serve tables, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So they're looking for people to serve tables. They're not looking for people to be on the microphone. And yet the requirements they had was to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. As someone who's not typically on the microphone, this convicts me that there are not roles where you can be passive and be relaxed, that in all the ways God is calling us to serve, we are to be fully engaged in this war and leveraging our discernment to understand the will of the Spirit and wisdom in each moment, because we will have many battles throughout the week that we will need these tools to face. So if you all bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time, just being able to share a bit of my story. And I just ask for myself and for everyone here that we would lean into you and discern your wisdom for how we are to tactically apply the tools you have given us to leverage those around us in this community and to be soldiers who do not shy from the battle that rages outside these walls. Bless us this week, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. If any of the prophetic elders have a burning word, we are very short on time. Okay. All right. I'll have the prayer ministers, the BLA alumni, come up, and we'll just invite anyone up who needs prayer, who needs to learn more. Come say hi. Tell me I'm sweating. Whatever it may be. I'm just going to ask everyone to stand for dismissal. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for Blue Water, this church of people who try things. Let us try this week with wisdom and with all the tools in our arsenal. Bless us, give us strength, and give us grace. In your name we pray.